Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that just won't stop, even when you want it to.
We haven't. For those who are actually keeping track by looking at the file name and not just blindly listening like our normal followers would, we are at show 198.
Oh boy, we're getting close to 200. And you know what we're going to do for 200? Nothing.
Probably nothing. We'll each have a beer.
It's going to be excellent. Yeah, we'll crack open a beer. We were going to, you know, we had been thinking about this for about the last 50 episodes. Hey, what should we do for episode 200? We should do this big retrospective or this big clip show. We're just going to end up talking about movies like we do every week, which I feel is probably the most apt way to celebrate episode 200, by just continuing to do exactly what we do that attracts so many dozens of readers.
Dozens of people. Well, you know, here's the thing, too.
Or whatever.
The idea of doing a clip show would be awesome until you realize that we have 200 hours of stuff to go through.
And that's not even including the outtakes.
If we started listening now, I don't even think we'd get through it by the time we'd record episode 200. We don't have an intern.
Which we need one.
We so need one, but we don't have one. And so that's why...
We will pay them in coffee.
Although, today is a monumental show.
Is it?
Because you have seen more movies than I have.
I think I got 2 out of 3. Yeah,
you got 2 out of 3. I got 1 out of 3.
Whoa.
And not by lack of trying, but... That's the way that them's the breaks, apparently.
Yeah. And I think I might have a screener, the one that I missed. I should have watched it. I didn't know we were talking about it until like just now.
What, the way back?
Yeah.
You got a screener for that?
Maybe.
I didn't get anything.
I'm special. Anyway, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys at the Movies when you're not listening to the show, which is what you're doing right now. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com, not totally redesigned, but some updates been made over at fatguysatthemovies.com. Makes it easier to find all the various shows in the Fat Guys Network. There's a network now. That's amazing.
We are now. Isn't that awesome?
It blows my mind.
You're like, wow. When we started this back in March of 2007, you were like, yeah, when is this guy going to get out of my house?
Pretty much.
You had to literally move halfway across the country.
Right, and I still can't get rid of you.
Still
terrible.
Didn't work.
Anyway, so check that out. It's actually pretty cool. You can go over to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies on iTunes. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. We'll check that again later in the show.
Oh, we have a voicemail from Thomas that we
keep forgetting to play.
Yeah.
Get us on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects and Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr with 2 R's. You can get us on Facebook, as I found out today, by just typing in the word fat into the Facebook search.
That's awesome.
So I'm feeling pretty good about that. We're just waiting for the other search engines to show to catch up. We're looking at you, Google.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my introduction this week.
That makes me laugh.
We've got 3 movies to talk about. The Way Back, which we mentioned briefly, but also The Company Man and the sexy romp with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher, known as No Strings Attached, which I did not know, I will say this up front, until the end credits, that it was directed by Ivan Reitman.
Yeah, he's a real hit or miss. I mean, he's done some great stuff, but he also did stuff like Evolution.
And My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
I kind of liked that, though.
So, but we'll talk about that in the next segment.
It had a shark in it.
That's true. First up is The Way Back, in which Peter Weir directs a drama about men who escape from the Siberian gulag during World War II.
If you are serious about making a run for it,
hey, don't!
I'm with you.
We must keep going.
The snow is blinding us.
Don't you see? This is perfect. They'll never find us like this.
We're lost.
Go over the Himalayas?
How?
We walk.
Just keep walking.
I have to say, the way you said it, say the name of the movie again.
The Way Back.
The Way Back.
Yeah.
That sounds like almost
racist.
Well, no, but it sounds like a real hip version of You know, it's like it could be like the sequel to Eminem's movie, The Way Back, as opposed to
like
the
way
back
in
back.
The day. It's the yeah, well, way no, back.
Yeah, it's not at all ghetto or rap or
you know what I realized about Peter Weir that I've seen his movies. I was just currently you know, because I sit here and while we're recording Fat Guys with Movies, and normally I just play Angry Birds on my iPad, but this time I was like, you know what, I'm gonna check IMDb because I know who Peter Weir is, but I couldn't tell you a single movie he's directed.
Truman Show.
And it turns out that I've seen like every single movie he's directed in the last 20 years. Dead Poets Society, Green Card, Truman Show, Master and Commander. And I liked like two of them.
Oh, you generally don't like his stuff?
I guess not. I did not know this until just now. Huh. I mean, I like the Truman Show. Thought it was very charming, very interesting, very unique, and kind of a fresh story. Yeah. I enjoyed Dead Poets Society, clearly. Great movie. But Master and Commander? Isn't that one of like the all-time most epically bad movies of all time ever?
I don't know about that. Epically bad?
And then Green Card, which that was the one with Gerard Depardieu. Which, who doesn't like charming comedies with Gerard Depardieu? Find me that man and I will punch him. So
okay. And apparently you are that man.
No, alright, so maybe I like three out of Peter Weir's last six movies. But I've never seen any of his other stuff, which looks Australian.
Okay, it looks Australian. I can't deal with those Aussies.
Yeah, he's from Australia, and a lot of his filmography appears to be from Australia. But I've never seen like Gallipoli, which is that Mel Gibson one.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I was flabbergasted by my own lack of knowledge in Peter Weir movies. So I'm curious to see if this one is worth me putting in that screener disc.
I think I'm more entertained by your flabbergastedness, flabbergastery, I guess, about Peter Weir.
Flabbergastrology.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's not like, it's like Tony Scott. I once looked up Tony Scott because Unstoppable, he did those just recently. And I looked him up and I realized I've seen most of his movies.
Right. You just didn't associate them with Tony Scott.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, I guess he did do that one. Oh, yeah, that one. And then I'm pretty much, I've seen almost every one of them. And it's different than like Martin Scorsese, or as you know, pretentious Hollywood people like Marty Scorsese because they don't know him.
I call him Marty when I call him on the phone.
Yeah, and then he sends the police to your house. But like Martin Scorsese,
he only does that
like,
once a week. Sometimes he actually talks to me. He's just a lovable little guy. He's like a Muppet.
So he is a Muppet. I think he actually is a Muppet.
Right. He's in that new Muppet movie with Jason Segel.
But no, I mean like if you look at his filmography, you're like, oh, I've seen the big ones, you know, Goodfellas and, you know, Raging Bull and all the, you know, the big ones that everybody knows. And then you see there's a whole bunch of movies he's directed that you're like, I didn't even know that movie existed.
Right.
So.
Well, and there's also the ones that he's directed that you're like, I didn't know he directed that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have 20 seconds to tell us what The Way Back is, whether it's good or not.
I don't know. They didn't screen it
for
me.
Oh, this is the one we didn't see?
Yeah, so that's why we wasted so much time. But you
know, I thought you saw this one.
No, that's not the one I saw. Oh. I haven't seen it.
The mystery of which movie Kevin saw continues after we take a very short but needed break.
Yeah, we're going to bring Scooby-Doo in to figure this out.
And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and during the break, Kevin had to remove sporting equipment from the various orifices of his young child.
Well,
I think we should preface, though, that we didn't give the disclaimer at the top of the show that that your wife is sick.
She's got strep throat.
Which is terrible. I just got over strep myself.
It's awful.
It's just, like, the worst.
And I'm just here. And the worst part about if you live in a house where somebody has strep throat is you just hear the clock ticking. Because you're like, if I can make it 10 days, I'll be okay. But you're just terrified that just you're going to wake up and you'll be like, oh, no.
Right.
So, but yeah, my wife, I've sequestered my wife. I'm doing the single dad thing. So the house is a wreck. Because when you try and pick up the slack for a spouse who's normally helping out, it's kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
I'm feeding the kids like potato chips and mayonnaise, and that's it. So, but if you hear indeed. if you hear my son in the background, that's because and you might hear Dora the Explorer playing in the background as well.
Dora the Explorer.
Yes. Or Diego.
So yeah, so that's the reason why there's noise. But I think it was what golf tees in the radiator this time.
When you have a 2.5-year-old, you tend to find things in places that they don't belong. You just leave it like that. He just stuck golf tees into. I mean, I'm looking at the heater, and it's like all these golf tees stuck in it. I'm like, thank God they wouldn't fit all the way in.
Indeed.
Yeah. Toothbrushes in the toilet, that kind of stuff. See, this is what you have to look forward to if you end up having kids.
Yeah, I'm totally looking forward to it. Cannot wait. Let's get on that right now.
And speaking of getting on something, let's talk
indeed. Our next movie.
Let's talk about
No Strings Attached.
Yes.
In which Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher play friends who start a sexual relationship without the drama of emotions.
Did you have sex with Emma?
No. Yes.
Wow. I'm a doctor. I work 80 hours a week. I need someone who's going to be in my bed at 2 a.m. who I don't have to eat breakfast with.
I hate breakfast.
Good.
It's from Emma. Where are you?
You want to come back strong here. Like, where am I? Why don't you check your underpants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Maybe we should establish ground rules.
No lying. No jealousy.
Don't list me as your emergency contact. I won't call.
Don't ask me what I think about your body.
Deal.
And I think we all know where this one's going. I saw this one.
No, this is not one I saw.
I know, but I think one of the things that didn't surprise me about this movie is it went exactly in the place where you think it's going to go, from a narrative standpoint.
No, wait, the big question I have is, is Natalie Portman naked in it?
She's about as naked as she's going to get.
Well, wait, I mean, is it like the naked one she was in, like, Hotel Xavier? And they're like, oh, she's naked, and it's like she's covering every little thing that would make her naked?
Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's like her in a bra, but no pants.
I call shenanigans.
Bent over the wrong way. And I mean,
you probably see a lot of Ashton Kutcher's ass in this.
I will say this, though. I mean, you get a big, full 100-foot view of Ashton Kutcher's butt in the movie, wow. Which, you know, I will say this. Dude's got a good one.
No, he was a model. He was a male model.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking dude. And I will say, there's a few things I'll say about this movie. One, it's got a few of my favorite supporting people in it.
Yes.
Greta Gerwig is in it. She's awesome. Mindy Kaling from The Office is in it. She's very funny. Lake Bell, who is usually the bright shining star of some really bad movies.
Yeah, she does not make also good very decisions good in all it. The time. On the
movie. She's also very good. Olivia Thirlby is in it. Ludacris. Ludacris Bridges also comes in for like 4 lines, which feels really weird because normally he's like more important in lesser movies.
Does he throw it down and then go back? Then it is like, I'm sorry, I got to get back to the set of The Way Back.
he's just awesome. And so the supporting cast is great. And this is something that we've seen in a lot of those Ashton Kutcher movies. What was the Vegas one?
Oh, what
Cameron
happened?
Diaz?
Yeah, what happened to Vegas? That was a cute movie.
Which was cute, but it was really cute because like the supporting character is really cute, and it was the Kutcher Cameron Diaz relationship that we couldn't stand.
Yeah.
For good reason. In this one, Natalie Portman pulls it off.
Okay.
Natalie Portman is such a superb actress. Mm. She is so charming that it makes Ashton Kutcher enjoyable.
Wow.
Like, her grace and just the humor that she exudes in this movie just washes over Ashton Kutcher and somehow made him a decent actor for this 90-minute sex comedy.
I'm going to throw up. What publicist of Natalie Portman paid you to say that? Because, I mean, I'm she's just nothing against her. I mean, she's a good actor, but, I mean, seriously, that was just uncalled for.
I was amazed. Wow. When I walked out of the movie, I was like, wow, that was really enjoyable.
This
wait,
not
I just watched an Ashton Kutcher movie.
Ashton Kutcher.
And as I thought about it, it's all Natalie Portman. The charisma between the two of them, it's really all on her side. This movie totally proves that she's a fantastic actress.
Is the movie better than the poster, which looks like she's getting ready to break wings?
Oh, much better. Much better. And I will say this, Natalie Portman, best fake on-screen orgasms ever.
Wow.
Between this and Black Swan, man, she's got it down.
Wow.
And so, you know, I will say this, a little bit of raunch.
Are you saying you're an expert at women faking orgasms?
I think I am at this point.
I guess so.
But this, it gets a little bit of raunch, but it's also charming.
Is
so
it
R-rated?
R-rated or not?
It's R-rated. Oh, yeah. There are F-bombs. I think Lake Bell, her first three or four lines is just F words.
Really?
And Kevin Kline also comes in, lends, he plays Ashton Kutcher's weird, famous actor father who starts dating his ex-girlfriend. It's weird.
Here's the question
it's
I
really,
have.
It's really cookie cutter, but I enjoyed it because of the performances.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I'm curious about, because the ever since Knocked Up did well, everyone's been like, oh, we got to do edgy, raunchy romantic comedies.
Right.
And I think in general they don't work. I think Knocked Up was an aberration. It was the exception to the rule. Because like something like Going the Distance, which I hated, but I know a lot of people liked, that movie did not do well. But it was a raunchy, it was a romantic comedy that threw a lot of raunch at it because it was trying to be Judd Apatow-ish. Do you think does it work? And
well,
you think
here's
the
thing is,
audience?
I think the difference is the movies that, what the main subject matter of the movie is. So like you look at a movie like Going the Distance, it's just about long distance relationships. There's nothing raunchy necessarily about that. This is a movie about sex. Yeah. This is a movie about having sex without being in a relationship. That's a raunchy topic as it is, you know? So, of course, those subjects are going to come up. Same thing with Knocked Up. It was about having sex and then having a baby. So, of course, some raunchy topics can be explored there very easily. A movie like Going the Distance, while I thought it was great, I can see where people go into it thinking that it might be one thing and get this raunchy comedy instead. And it's not really about anything that easily lends into being raunchy other than just relationships in general.
Okay.
So it feels a little bit more crass. In this case, this movie is very upfront about the fact that it is about two people who are just having sex.
Yeah.
So, of course, that kind of goes down that path very easily.
Okay.
And I think, you know, you accept it for that right away. And like I said, I couldn't tell that it was an Ivan Reitman movie till the closing credits, because it didn't feel anything like an Ivan Reitman movie. It felt like a Judd Apatow movie. So I say it kind of rocks. I say go see it.
I'm going to say it has to get a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for me.
Ah, take that.
Ah, next movie. The Company Men. A bunch of executives are laid off and have to deal with not having loads of disposable cash. Wambuhoo.
You're firing me? 3,000 jobs?
They were good people, Jim.
Hell, it's a business, not a charity.
I've always told you what I thought, right or wrong, and this is wrong.
Late for a meeting.
Got one kid in college, another one going in the fall.
I won't go back to a factory floor. I'll take an AK-47 to this place first.
Mr. Walker, can I speak to you for a moment?
I just got thrown off the course at the club.
Oh, you playing golf? Taking your Porsche detail?
I need to look successful.
did you see this one?
I just love the clear reaction that you had to this movie in that description.
That's my review.
I saw this one at Sundance like 2 years ago.
Oh my god!
Back when the market was actually, when the economy really sucked.
When this was actually relevant.
So back then, the stuffy critics were like, "Oh, it's so poignant.
Ugh.
It's so relevant to today's situation." I'm like, "No, it's not. This is a bunch of rich white people who don't have any money anymore. It's still not relevant. It's not relevant at all. It's, you know, it's relevant to people in Hollywood who have a lot of money, who then didn't have a lot of money, and they can totally feel the pain of not being able to pay their country club bills or support their kids' Xbox habit.
Well, and the problem,
but the rest of us don't care.
This movie tries. I think the attempt of this movie is to be like, see, rich people have problems too. It's sort of like when you see a movie and they're like, and they trying to be like, no, if you're really hot and popular, that's tough as well. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not as hard as everything else. And there is a scene, the country club scene. There's a scene in this movie where Ben Affleck's character is like, "Well, I can't pay my fees at the country club, and I need to look successful and blah blah blah." And then there's a scene where he's negotiating a salary, and a woman is who's saying, "Well, we have these jobs." She's like, "Well, we start at $65,000 a year," and he's like, "Well, I was making $125,000. I could go down to $110,000." I'm like, "Punch this guy in the face," because
right.
You know, get what you can get, and you know, sure. Right.
I just think it's a movie that's clearly not for people like us.
No,
or most of America.
Anybody else? Yeah.
I mean, if you're, you know, if you make over $100,000 a year, this is your movie, man. This is your sob story.
Yeah.
Go do it. It kind of sucks for me, but go do it.
This movie just sucked. It lost me.
I thought it was well acted though.
It was well constructed, well made, but yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
You gotta go to
we'll be back.
Bye.
42 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are the infamous middle... Infamous? What am infinite? I saying?
Infinite?
Infamous?
The infinite middle? Sometimes it feels like the infinite middle segment.
It is kind of the infinite middle
Sometimes
segment.
It just goes on. This is, you know, when I said at the top of the show, this is the show that keeps going even when you want it to stop. This is pretty much the show. We're the date rape of movie podcasts.
We are the date rape Energizer Bunny of podcasts.
Wow. Just, yeah. Anyway, time to talk about box office. I say we speed through this week.
Let's try.
Because we basically
see if we can
just
call
ourselves the date rapists.
I just want to go home.
And then we're going to do the Fat Guy 5 about actresses we want to bone. So
yeah,
we're just going down a slippery slope here in segment 3.
And what's great
my
about
mom's
that,
not listening.
I hope some of these actresses, I could go down their slippery slopes. But
oh,
my wife just came upstairs, so she'll be
so
of course,
in
the room. When I'm talking about these actresses I want to...
Yeah, it'll be really lovely. I'm just hoping my girlfriend doesn't listen. But we're going to preface the list. We'll get to that later.
She doesn't listen. Don't kid yourself. She doesn't listen. And if she
did,
she wouldn't make it to this point. She'd be bored.
Anyway, yeah, I'm glad we didn't mention this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Anywho, so we've got last weekend's box office. The Green Hornet came in first, $40 million weekend. Big showing for the Green Hornet.
Well wait,
done.
Is that a big showing or is that just plays right
next to... You know, for a January release... I would say that's a pretty good showing.
But what I'm saying, see, the thing is, in Hollywood, it's all about expectations.
Right.
You know,
well,
I mean,
don't know
was
what
that...
they were expecting out of this movie. 30 million sounded about right. 40
no,
million.
Well, 40, it was in the 30s, and then you throw in Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And it was 40. So, I'm just saying, I heard that it was pretty much right what they expected.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So Green Hornet came in $40 million. Dilemma came in at $20 million, which is probably
that's
a little less than Universal wanted, but
right
about where we
expected
less. It to be.
Yeah, I had heard they were not happy. Universal,
I'm sure
has
they were
been
hoping
struggling.
For big. I mean, they spent $70 million on a Ron Howard movie. They should get more than that out of it.
Well, but Universal's been having trouble.
They've been having
trouble
with movies lately.
For almost 2 years. We're going on almost 2 years with very limited hits.
Right.
And,
you know, it's not the quality of the movie. Sometimes they make good movies that don't
Some of them
hit.
Are really good films, just, but they just haven't clicked.
I have a feeling we're going to get a bunch of new marketing people soon. Anyway, True Grit came in third, King's Speech in fourth, Black Swan in fifth. A little Golden Globes bump for both of those. Movies, yeah. Getting them both over $10 million. Little Fockers finally falls out of the top five. Moving on Yay. To this week. What's coming out this week again? No Strings Attached? I think No Strings Attached is pretty primed to duel with the Green Hornet.
If I were to guess, I think it's going to be that horse race between... I really don't think the Green Hornet's going to slough off enough.
Right.
I do not think No Strings Attached is going to do that well.
Here's why I think it might. I was surprised to find out. Not
Please
only
don't
Ivan,
say it's because of Natalie Portman and how
no,
awesome
no, no, no.
she is.
Well,
and,
I mean,
oh my
Natalie
gosh.
Portman might give it a bump because she's got the big Oscar push. She's big in the gossip rags right now because of the whole
she's
pregnancy thing.
She's got a baby
thing.
Bump.
She's kind of a big topic. She's number one celebrity on IMDb that people look up right now. So now the Natalie Portman bump might help, but it's a Paramount movie. And
you
here's
what
Paramount
they,
does. Paramount if, is really if, good at getting a lot of people to go see crappy movies.
Not always,
but
imagine
a lot of the
time. That, man.
So if there's any studio that can make something out of this, it's going to be Paramount. I'd put Green Hornet in the $25 million range, and I'd put No Strings Attached in the $25 million range as well.
Yeah.
And that's your fight for number one.
Yeah, I think, the things it's got to overcome the R rating as a romance. Because it's being billed as a romantic comedy. You look at the poster. It looks like a romantic comedy. It looks like a When Harry Met Sally kind of thing. But
right.
Maybe it has this appearance of being maybe a little bit sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the R-rated rom-coms do not do well, or
mm-hmm.
they struggle a lot. I think that's what it's going to have to overcome. Not saying anything about quality or whatever. But,
right.
Oops, here's the kid in the room. There we are.
Hey, it's a child.
Yeah, well, it's snowing outside. It's not snowing down near you.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't
do snow down here.
Yeah, I don't think the way back is going to barely show.
No, it's only opening in like 650 theaters, so.
And even then, not a whole lot of people know about it. And
yeah, it's also a Peter Weir movie. No one knows who Peter Weir is,
except everybody
except for me, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. So that's box office predictions for the week. Wow, we are just steaming through this one.
We're Cleveland steaming through this one. So.
Now it's time for the Fat Guy Five, the epic Fat Guy Five. This one was thrown together at the last minute.
Oh, good. This Carolyn, is my wife's leaving the room, so she doesn't have to sit through this.
Yeah, in a situation where Kevin and I were to end up single, which I'm sure would only mean just horrible things would have to happen to our lady friends.
Yeah.
In a situation where we were single or had to fix up our single friends, although I don't know if I'd
no,
do that.
No, that is not happening.
That's not happening.
I would not.
If Kevin and I were single fat guys, these are five actresses we want to be friends with benefits with.
Why don't we just, we're single fat, this is, and unicorns are in the picture too, because apparently this happening is a strong
hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
And this is five, even though there are like eight people on the list. So,
well, but also
take from that what you will. My first one was Emma Stone, and Emma Stone from Easy A of Easy A Affliction, even though she plays a high schooler. She's old enough.
I can't actually jump on that one.
But Emma Stone, she's got one of those cool personalities, man.
She's cute, but I just couldn't. I would feel too creepy.
Right. Okay. What's your first one? Not creepy guy.
My one is the completely uncreepy Jessica Troika that I've been talking about for years.
The return of the infamous Jessica Troika, which Fat Guys of the Movies listeners from way back will remember.
Close the door. I'll get it afterwards. Go. My son is now causing a problem. Close the door. I know you don't want me talking about this. Close it. I will get it later.
This is awesome.
Close it. He's 2.5.
Hey, so what's the Jessica Troika again?
Okay, the Jessica Troika is Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Jessica Simpson. And, you know, Jessica Simpson, still on the list, you know. Nothing like a good badonkadonk going on there.
Okay.
But, you know, this is so ridiculously not possibly ever going to happen. I mean, you know, Jessica Alba's just
But it would have to be all three at the same time, is what you're saying.
I would make concessions if it was just one.
Fair enough. And then number three is Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis. I'm saying at the same time because these are two ladies who were in Black Swan together. And they have both done movies where they both have movies coming out this year based on the same theme. So Natalie Portman has No Strings Attached. Mila Kunis is in a movie called Friends with Benefits.
Yes.
So there you go.
It has to be at the same time. You're telling me that
it would have to be at the same time.
If the there was no lady friend in the picture, and if Natalie Portman comes in and just goes, hey, whoo, and whips it all off and says, we're doing it here, you'd be like, no, you march out there and get Mila Kunis and report back to me prompt.
And the minute she denied that, I would break. I would. Just,
you'd be
I'd,
like,
I'd be like,
okay.
Oh, no, never mind. Just kidding. Ah. Yeah. Anyway, number four is Christina Hendricks. I think we all know why.
Well, yeah. She's got boobs, sure. That's
what else would you say if Joan Holloway wanted to?
You know what you'd say?
Have
you'd
a
be
very casual relationship with you
because you couldn't say anything.
Fair enough.
You'd be drowning in her fun fleshy bags.
Mr. Carr, so we can
the last one, Zoe Saldana. You know, whether she's blue or whether she's her natural color, or whether she looks a little bit trashy like from The Losers, or really classy like in Death at a Funeral, mm-hmm. I don't care.
Right. I got you.
I'll take her any way I could.
Nice.
With benefits.
And our honorable mention, a huge, just, I mean, this is one of our all-time favorites on this show, mm-hmm. Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah. I have to say, and especially if she were in the evening gown with a gun, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
I'll tell you, if she walked in the room, she's, I think, better looking now in a lot of ways than she was when she was younger. You know, if she just walked in the room and she'd be like, look, dude, we're doing it. I'd be like, I don't care if you've been through menopause. I'm hitting that.
Right. It's Helen Mirren, man. Did you see Red? Helen Mirren shooting a gun.
Whoa. Dude, did you see Calendar Girls? She flashed her boobs.
I've seen Helen Mirren's boobs. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it's time for us to go to a break. This is probably the shortest third segment in the history of... No, wait, hold on. We have the voicemail. Do we want to play this?
Oh, yes.
Hi, Kevin and Neil. This is Thomas from Seattle. I recently left a comment on one of the other movie blogs. I'm sorry that I have to admit that I read some other movie blogs besides Film School Rejects and Fat Guys at the Movies. So I left a comment on one of these other movie blogs, we'll go unnamed, and it was kind of mildly, you know, criticizing the site's leader for being a little short-sighted on one particular movie. I think it might have been something like Tron Legacy or something. You know, I kind of disagreed, and I kind of pointed that out, and, you know, the comment was up for a day, and then, or, you know, for the rest of the day that I posted it, and then the next day it was gone. And I was wondering if you have heard of some other movie blogs self-censoring, you know, criticize the host a little bit, and then your comment gets taken down. I mean, it sounds like Sarah Palin's Facebook page. Okay, talk to y'all soon. Thanks, Kevin and Neil. Bye.
All right, what do you think of that?
That is an excellent question. This is probably one of the... It's a little inside baseball, I guess, into the world of movie blogging, but it's something that it
don't
has
you mean the
bothered.
Scintillating world of movie blogging? Hmm? Let's give it some excitement. So the scintillating
world of movie blogging. The secret life of movie bloggers. Because I've had this happen to me, actually. I have made comments on Deadline Hollywood, Nikki Fink's website.
Yes. Nikki Fink's an idiot anyway.
That have corrected Ms. Fink. And politely-ish. And they've been removed immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, few minutes go by and she just, delete.
The fact that, like, for, like, 2 or 3 weeks she spelled Little Fockers, F-O-K-K-E-R-S.
Yeah. And
like, never caught it. I mean, it's one thing, it's like, be one thing, like, misspelling Will Ferrell's name and using an A instead of an E.
Right. In my own defense, I guess it was never anonymous. I always put my name, I always put my website on there, and I said, you know, you just said this, and I would put links and provide examples, and it was more of her being hypocritical about things, but deleted right away. And I hate that. Yeah. I think that's awful. You know, people can come to Film School Rejects and they can comment, they can say pretty much anything they want, as long as it's not,
as not like MILF
personal
sex tape.
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as it's not spam or personal and hateful, you know, against the author itself. You know, if you're going to question, if you're going to come there and say Rob Hunter writes an article, if you come there and you question what Rob Hunter is saying, or point out something that he wrote that was incorrect, or point out a typo, or just disagree and want to argue, that's fine. But if you come on and say Rob Hunter is a stinky poo-poo head, that
would so not be taken down. You know it. It would
stay
up there.
But, you know, I mean, if somebody
I challenge anybody, go onto a Rob Hunter article and say Rob Hunter is a stinky poo-poo head. I guarantee you it will not be taken down.
But, I mean, in general, unless it's extremely hateful and unnecessary, there's no way we're going to remove it.
No.
And I think that's what creates the best discussion. That's why people want to come back and comment, because let people be themselves. We do the same thing for our writers. The writers get to write what they want. You know, we don't tell Rob Hunter what he should think about the Lethal Weapon reboot. You know, he writes that article, and you know, when we give it to him to assign it to him to write it, we know that he's going to write it however he wants, and he's going to say whatever he wants about it. And if he says that, you know, the producers of that movie are morons, then that's basically going to be the Film School Reject stance. You know, and if we disagree, we're free to comment in the comment area as well.
Yeah.
So, absolutely not. I wouldn't, you know, if you, you know, voice your discontent on a website and they delete your comment, I would stop reading that website immediately and come back to Film School Reject. I can't stand that, man, because there are so many movie bloggers. They're sensitive. We're all sensitive. We're all egomaniacs. But I don't condone that at all. I think that's cowardly and that's terrible. And
well, especially
there are some
movie
bloggers that just cannot handle being wrong. And I do it on Twitter. I will call people out on Twitter all the time who are friends of mine, and I'll be like, "Hey, you never write anything negative about movies," and they get so defensive because they hate to be wrong and they hate for people to just think that they're anything but perfect citizens, and they're not, you know.
No.
So, but we, you know, we try at Film School Rejects. We absolutely try. We don't delete comments.
No.
Unless it's really inappropriate. So.
It takes a lot to delete. I mean, it really does. It does take a lot to delete. It has to be personal attacks, and it has to be, obviously, spam.
And heavy cursing. Like, we had,
You'll edit that, yeah. Well, yeah, if it's we'll racist,
edit
it
out. We reserve the right
like
to edit out heavy cursing because you know we don't. We're not a family site, I guess, but we don't. You know, we don't want to be super crass. We're not one of those websites. You know, I guess it's everybody has whatever every website owner has or publisher has their own vision of what kind of site they run. Yeah. And I guess in some cases, in the case I guess that Thomas is talking about, that's a publisher that runs a site where they're not going to be criticized. Yeah. So if that's the kind of site you want to read, then there you go. But if you want to read a website that's okay with being criticized all the time, it's Film School Rejects.
That happens to us. I wear flames with a badge of honor.
Ooh, man. Well, I take it as a point of pride that we can take it. You know, yeah. Because we put it out there. We got some yeah. really hard opinions sometimes about movies, and we make some people in Hollywood really angry with us. Yeah. So, you know, why wouldn't we let our commenters do the same thing? So
there you go.
But anyways, fantastic question. Love that. It's just that's probably one of the best ones.
Wow. So. You made Neil happy. Thanks, Yay. Thomas. We got to go. Right. See you
Breaks
later.
Breaks make
Neil.
Me happy, too.
Neil's a poopy head. We'll be back after the break.
And we are wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. It's been a very titillating show.
Ooh.
Yeah, scintillating, even. And
that was my word.
So
you stole my word.
I did. Sorry. We're moving right along to the big finish here, in which we've got some DVDs and wrap-ups and whatnot. Yeah. So, but we begin with the world-famous DVD Roundup. And we got a lot this week.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised to see. We'll start with mine because I am cool. And I've got Buried on Blu-ray. Buried's a movie that I liked a lot with Ryan Reynolds. Very cool, claustrophobic flick. We've also got Animal Kingdom, which is probably one of the better movies that came out this year in general. Great flick with a very atmospheric crime drama from Australia. One of the best performances of the year in Ben Mendelsohn.
Nothing to do with Peter Weir.
Right, nothing to do with Peter Weir. We've got Lebanon, which is a very cool, just kind of like Buried. This week is kind of the if only 127 hours were coming out on Blu-ray, this would be the perfect week, is Men in Tight Spaces, because Buried is about a guy in a coffin. Lebanon is about four dudes in a tank driving through the Lebanon War, and the camera never leaves the tank. It's very just super cool.
Cool.
We've got two Samuel Fuller movies from the Criterion Collection, Shock Corridor and The Naked Kiss. One is about a stripper. The other is about a hooker. Both are set in the 50s. Both are way raunchier than you think they would be.
My kind of movie.
Both very cool, very interesting black and white flicks. So, and then, of course, the Criterion element is tons of great special features. It's basically a film class every time you put one of those discs in. So it's great. Yeah. And then finally, I have Justified Season 1. Justified, one of the best shows you're probably not watching. That Timothy Oliphant thing. So you should watch that. Did Death Race 2 come out this week?
Death Race 2 did come out this week. That's one of my picks.
Oh, well, hey, let's just roll into
which
your
picks
then.
Which has nothing to do with Justified. I will say with Justified, I don't watch it, but Meryl Barr, who does the Idiot Boxers with me, is a huge fan of that show.
I haven't talked to anybody that watches it that hasn't loved it. So I'm still need to sit down and watch it.
Since you mentioned Death Race 2, let's bring that on. Death Race 2 is the prequel of a prequel. If you remember, two and a half years ago, Paul W.S. Anderson sort of did a prequel to Death Race 2000, which is the original Corman classic. Not as good nearly as the Corman classic because it wasn't as irreverent and silly. But for just a big, stupid action movie, people driving cars, it worked. Death Race 2 is a prequel of that. Death Race 3 is going
to
take place in the Civil War, apparently.
It's gonna be about rickshaw races in
exactly
old England.
But Death Race 2, not a great movie, but you know what? It lives up.
Oh no!
To
wait,
the,
they already made the prequel to the prequel. It's called Ben-Hur.
Well, the Death Race 2, it pushes the right buttons for fast cars and big explosions. Could have used a little more ladies in it with sexiness, but you know, I mean, it's not that great of a movie, but for the action element, it's done relatively well. It's directed by the guy who did the Marine 2, if you care about that.
He's really good at making straight to DVD sequels.
Yeah, apparently that's his thing. I think he's German, and that's his cutting his teeth in America. Speaking of America, you've got Dallas season 14. I mentioned this last week. I actually had the release date wrong. Season 14 is out. This is the final season of Dallas, and it ends with like the most bizarre "It's a Wonderful Life" version of what would happen if JR didn't exist in Texas. So that's right. The series finale. Almost worth picking up just for that. Also, Freakonomics, which was interesting. There's a lot of no duh stuff in Freakonomics because they bill Freakonomics as what it is. It's an economist who looks at certain cause and effect problems in the world, and there's a couple things in there that are like, oh, I never thought of it that way. But most of the stuff you're just like, well, yeah, that makes sense. It's just kind of well put together. And then Merlin season 2, which is the BBC show that's airing on the Sci-Fi Channel, and they're just getting ready to start season 3. But Merlin season 2 is on DVD.
Cool.
And, the Stinkers. Takers.
Oh, we have three this week.
Oh, we have three.
We got your two, and then I have to put that one in there.
Okay, Takers. It made my DVD picks of the list simply because I needed five. But it's not that good of a... It's a terrible movie. It's really stupid. Chris Brown doesn't beat any women up in this movie, which I guess is a good thing. And it's got like people, powerhouse actors like Paul Walker and Hayden Christensen rounding things out. Then the other one is Stone, which has great actors in it, and just is the most boring, stupid, awful movie I've seen. It's one of those award bait films that just fails on every level.
Fair enough.
What's your stinker?
My stinker's Paper Man, the one with Jeff Bridges and Emma Stone. And Ryan Reynolds is a weird superhero imaginary friend.
Is he trapped in a superhero costume through the whole movie? And the camera never leaves
boring.
The superhero costume?
It's just, it's awful. Oh, God. It's unbearable. Okay. It's unbearable. I can't say worse things.
Is it pulpy?
No.
Okay. Right. Well,
anyway, time to wrap up our reviews here. We had The Way Back, which neither one of us said, so it gets Saw. So it gets a whatever.
It's like you're saying The Whackness. That's like the sequel to The Whackness. The Way Back.
Way back in the day. Anyway, No Strings Attached, which I said kind of rocks.
And I said it pretty much.
It was very enjoyable. And then
The Company Man.
The Company Man, which we both saw, and I said kind of sucks, and I think you were a little stronger.
Totally sucks.
Woohoo! Totally sucks. Take that. Ba-bow. Next week, we've got The Mechanic and The Right. Who knows what we'll see of those two, because they're both... Actually, The Mechanic, they looks like they're going to
I'm going to see The Mechanic. The Right. The
Right is questionable. I probably won't see The Mechanic, because I have
You should watch the original with Charles Bronson.
Yeah, and I'll just review that instead. It'll be great. And as if it's the new one. Anyway, you can get us over at that newly retooled FatGuysTheMovies.com. In the meantime, enjoy the movies.
Ta-ta.